God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. During this Christmas time, we usually count our many blessings as we are surrounded usually with family and friends, encouragement. And indeed, God has blessed us greatly. And during this last year, I will admit, God has also blessed me. And I was also greatly appreciated for the congregation sponsoring Pastor Appreciation Day. And during that day, some of the Sunday school students drew pictures of me with something that, you know, they appreciated about what I do in proclaiming God's Word. So I just brought the booklet for just a moment with a beautiful picture of me, I guess, on the cover, saying, "Thank you, Pastor." And you just go inside and you say, "Thank you for telling us about God and Jesus. Thank you for teaching us." And there's a lot of other interesting things in here. I like the one that says, "You are the best." And there's one that really sort of caught my attention. There's a few in there about singing, and I'll get to this one. Oh, yes. Near the end, this beautiful portrait that says, "Like the pastor's feet." Now, I will admit, this brought a sort of like an immediate laugh and maybe a little bit of embarrassment from the adults connected to this child, to this student, naming my beautiful feet. Now, I will admit, I do not paint my toenails. Not that you needed to know that. There's nothing spectacular about my feet, except this child did come up with a fantastic point that wasn't necessarily unique. I immediately pulled out the Old Testament reference for today's scripture passage. Did you catch that from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7? "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" Once this Bible passage was disclosed, this artist and the idea behind for this artist now became, wow, this is kind of neat. And it is true, and it is very appropriate that on Pastor Appreciation that we remember the pastor's feet. Well, in line with Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Nothing special about my feet, but about the message. It's all about the message. The message and why this was chosen for this particular day is the message of good news. That, yes, we have a Savior, God himself taking on our flesh and blood and living among us. God caring for you to die on the cross, to forgive your sins, to reconnect you back to him. God who doesn't want you to be stuck in loneliness and isolation, but wants you to be connected to him and the communion of saints, all believers in Christ throughout time and eternity. A God who says, "You have value. You have worth. You are special." A God who says, "I'm doing this for you, not for me." And if we truly go back to the Christmas spirit, what is that Christmas spirit? Usually it's described in giving of gifts. But in today's society, and especially, you know, within some of us, we might describe Christmas as, "What did I get this year?" That isn't necessarily the line of thought that God wants to communicate. Instead, he wants to communicate, "What can I give? How can I share myself with you?" So yes, it was very fitting for one of these pictures to be drawn that a person likes my feet. Well, today we're going to sort of connect that concept with what happened with the shepherds. We may remember that on that eve or that evening, the angels came to the shepherds with the wonderful news that your Savior is born in Bethlehem. And they went to see that beautiful Savior, to see the news that, yes, Christ is born. God taking on human flesh, God becoming a child to save his people from their sins. This is the miraculous news, the great announcement. But it's interesting, to whom was this announcement made? Was this announcement made to the religious leaders of the time? No. Was this announcement made to the rich and famous? No. But to shepherds. And mind you that shepherds deal with sheep. That's not too startling. But sheep, you have to remember, yeah, they kind of look kind of cute and cuddly, especially the stuffed animal type sheep. But if you've been around real sheep, you'll find out that they're kind of high maintenance. They kind of smell. And after you're sort of with them for a while, you begin to smell like them, which isn't necessarily very nice. And you got to remember, during that time, they didn't necessarily have socks and shoes like we wear. They're usually wearing sandals, so their feet probably also smelled from working and working with the sheep. So notice how God works here. He didn't work through the proud, the elite, the special. He worked with the low, the humble. So it also is the way that God works. Needless to say, who was the one that was destined to bring the message of the Christ child to be born? Those shepherds. Nothing special about them. By the way, who was one of the people at the tomb and the resurrection? Was it not a woman that was once possessed by the devil, to whom our Savior first appeared after his resurrection? And didn't God also entrust the message of disciples to the disciples, to unlearned fishermen? You see, God does not necessarily work through the elite, but he works through ordinary human beings. So if on this Christmas day, if you carry a burden within your heart, if you're feeling lonely or forsaken, if your heart aches with the bereavement of a loved one during this holiday season, or if you wonder whether God has time for one that may seem to be so insignificant as you, if you feel ashamed of what you've been and what you've done and seek peace for your soul, then this is the story you need to hear about the shepherds keeping their watch over the flocks by night. Today we'll be celebrating Christmas with the shepherds, so to speak, and may the Lord visit us with his Spirit as powerfully as he visited the shepherds many years ago. So if you want to celebrate Christmas with the shepherds, we have to sort of realize what they were going through. The first thing they did was they went. Just as you came and you gathered to hear God's word today, they listened to what the angel said and went away and said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Now, Scripture doesn't record that there was a debate about it. They just went. They basically said, "Let's go. We got to." It was almost like it was unanimous. None of them disagreed. And none of them really asked the question, you know, is this too embarrassing to go upon a stranger and say, is this where the Christ child is? And especially that this was a family who had just given birth. Nor were they really thinking that they were intruding upon one of those quote-unquote private moments. Nor was there the slightest doubt in their mind what had happened. They just went. There are today many of us who do not celebrate Christmas with the shepherds. They don't go to Bethlehem, so to speak. They say that they're too busy. They say that there's something wrong, and they'd rather enjoy the outward trappings of Christmas instead of actually finding out what Christmas is really all about. Sometimes they worry about being lectured to. Sometimes they worry about things that are going wrong in their lives. And they might be thinking, how can God really be paying attention to me? But today, we focus upon that message. God does pay attention to humanity. He does care about each and every one of us. Otherwise, he would not have taken on flesh and blood. And so, like the shepherds, we also need to come to Bethlehem. We need to go to where our Savior is, where our Savior reveals himself for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, for that love, for that connection with God. And so the shepherds, they went and they worshipped. They saw the baby lying in the manger. They met Mary and Joseph. And then they did something really special. As they were leaving, they told everyone who they could possibly could about the Christ child. At this point, I just want to sort of leave the shepherds for a moment and sort of ask, how well do we do and sharing the love and the joy and the peace that comes from knowing that we have a Savior who takes on flesh and blood to forgive our sins and to restore us back to God. How well do we witness that in our own lives? Are our own lives witnessed by our self-pity parties? Our own lives, are we witnessed by thinking, how many toys can I get for Christmas this year? In our own lives, do we witness by saying, yes, I believe it's important, but not that important to really share myself with someone else. Not to share that Christ child with someone else. That's a little too risky. What will others say? They might call me some religious zealot. Well, no one called the shepherds religious zealots. Instead, they, in one essence, they were considered to be one of the first missionaries in proclaiming the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me just use also another illustration. For those of you who are familiar with the Harry Potter series, in the books or in the movies, when Harry first finds out and gets that invitation from Hogwarts, that invitation didn't come very quickly and easily. It had a few obstacles. Needless to say, his uncle was the major obstacle and was doing everything possible to make sure that Harry would not get this invitation. What was very intriguing about this invitation, though, was the invitation knew exactly where Harry was at that particular moment. If he was living under the stairs, because that's where his aunt and uncle placed him, the address was to Harry under the stairs. After his uncle, aunt and uncle were a little embarrassed about it and moved him to a bedroom, the invitation came to the bedroom. And then when it finally said, we need to get out of this place because we need to try to avoid all these invitations that were coming, no matter where they went, the invitation finally was able to catch up to them, even to the point where the invitation was sent and hand-delivered by someone who was not well-dressed, by someone who did not necessarily speak most eloquently, but a common, so to speak, average, ordinary type person. You see, God can also work very similarly. One of the reasons why we fail to witness this Christ child and what he means to us, the forgiveness of sins and the joy he brings and the peace he brings into our lives, is sometimes we're a little too embarrassed. We may be thinking, there's nothing special about me. And you're wrong. There is something special about you. That's why God came. He loves each and every one of you. Yes, we may not be the most eloquent person in the world. Neither were the shepherds. We may not be part of the rich and famous, but strangely enough, they weren't given the invitation either. God works through the ordinary to bring the message of the extraordinary. The shepherds were the ordinary. We also are the ordinary. At least I'm not seeing your picture on TV or in the newspapers, part of the rich and famous. We have to realize that God works through the ordinary means to create and to do his special work. And it's not just through the shepherds and through people like you, but God also works through ordinary bread and wine that we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. This isn't special bread and wine. It isn't wine from special vineyards or bread from special fields, but ordinary bread and wine. What's special about it is God's Word. Going back to the cover of our worship folder for a moment, we see the baby Jesus, and then we see the Greek word for, or Greek words for, the Word. As our gospel reading reminds us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that last verse, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, it's God that makes the ordinary special. God that takes ordinary water, connects his word to it, and you have the sacrament of holy baptism. God who takes ordinary bread and wine, connects his word to it, and you have the Lord's Supper. What we're talking about is something that the shepherds understood. They were just ordinary people. But God created something special, something extraordinary, and invited them. They came, they listened, they worshipped, they told others. It was sort of a life-changing experience. So also with us. As we come and we gather to hear God's Word, God gives us that grace. Yes, we are ordinary people, but this isn't an ordinary message. This is the message from God. God trying to show His love, His compassion to a world that's still living in darkness. As Scripture reminds us, a world still struggling with pain, with sin, with frustrations. A world that is not complete or whole. And what is God's message to this little Christ child born on this day that the church celebrates? The message is that you are important. You are special. You are loved by God. So much that, yes, He was willing to take on flesh and blood to live among us. So much that He even gives His very true body and blood with this bread and wine for the strengthening of our faith, the forgiveness of our sins. We may laugh, and we may say, Pastor, I'm not really that special. In and of yourself, you're right. But because you have Christ within you, you are special. I go back to the picture here, where someone said, they like my feet. The feet of Him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Yes, we may laugh about this, and I will always cherish it. And it's truly a very special thing. But so also is the message of Christ. It's a message that we don't keep to ourselves. It's a message we need to share with those around us. It does bring the good news. It does publish peace. It brings the good news of happiness and salvation. That yes, we have a God who loves each and every one of us. Fair enough, you don't have to articulate this message word for word. But there are other ways that you can show the love of Christ in your life to those around you. So this day we give our great praise and thanks to God. He takes the ordinary human beings of this world and makes them special through the birth of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name, Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.